Well, this morning we are starting a new series called Forgiveness, and the subtitle of this series is Finding Freedom by Letting Go. And originally, in sort of a nod to Taylor Swift, this series was going to be entitled Bad Blood. But a few weeks ago, I was thinking about it and changed it to Forgiveness, because we're not just going to be talking about forgiving other people, people with whom we might have bad blood. We're going to be talking about forgiveness more broadly at a higher level. So we decided to go with forgiveness. And in thinking about forgiveness more broadly, it's important to start with the truth that forgiveness was God's idea before it was ever ours. Now, that may seem kind of obvious, but it is nonetheless true that forgiveness was God's idea before it was ever ours. According to the book of Genesis, it didn't take very long into human history before we humans created a situation that necessitated forgiveness. We created a situation by our disobedience, by our behavior, that necessitated this new thing called grace, this grace and forgiveness. And so it took almost no time whatsoever for us to violate the only rule God, our Creator, ever gave us. Gave us one rule. As soon as His back was turned, we violated that rule. We brought sin into the world. We fell into disobedience. We fell into rebellion. We gave in to our own pride. It was Adam and Eve, but let's face it, we can't blame Adam and Eve, because if it had been us, we'd have done the same thing. We would have failed. We would have fallen to this temptation as well. It was Adam and Eve who tried to usurp the place of God. They tried to be masters of their own lives. The temptation that was presented to them by eating that fruit was that they were going to get to be like God. They wanted to be equal to God. We call this first act of disobedience sin. That's the word we use, sin. Now, sin is, just to give a quick definition of sin is missing the mark. Sin is veering off the path. Sin is straying from God's will. Sin is the problem, the barrier between us and God. And Adam and Eve might have been the first sinners, but they certainly were not the last, right? We all know that they weren't the last. Everyone in this room is a sinner. We're all guilty of sin. We are all sinners. Everybody feel better now? You all came here this morning to hear that great good news. So that's your pep talk. You're welcome. Okay, so it's not all that pleasant to hear that we're sinners. But it is nonetheless true. We all sin. Sometimes we sin because we mean to. Sometimes we sin because we don't mean to. Sometimes we sin by the things we do. And sometimes we sin by the things we neglect to do. But we are all sinners. Now, if that sounds startling to you, it might be because the church doesn't talk that much about sin these days. In some segments of the church, and I don't mean Advent, but I mean in the church as a whole, in some segments of the church, talking about sin has become taboo. People don't want to talk about it because nobody wants to make anybody feel bad. But neglecting to talk about sin doesn't make it any less true. Neglecting to talk about it doesn't make it any less true. In fact, I'm thinking that maybe our scripture lesson for this morning might have something to say to us who would rather not talk about sin. It might have something to say to us, those of us who would rather avoid the topic of sin and forgiveness and the freedom that comes with letting go. So we're going to pick up a passage. This is from 1 John chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading at verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this is how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple of people around you and deliver this message. The message is, it's best to confess. Can you do that for me? It's best to confess. After the 8:30 service, there was a guy who came out. He'd been sitting with his whole family. He has a teenage daughter, and he was sitting right next to her. And he said, you ought to see a teenage daughter's face when you say it's best to confess. But it is. It's best to confess. Sometimes when I meet new people, I try not to let them know that I'm a pastor. Is that bad? It's not that I'm ashamed of what God's called me to do. It's just that I have learned over the years that once people find out I'm a pastor, they tend to act differently. It's happened to me a number of times. I'll give you an example. This has been a number of years ago now, but one time I was playing golf with one of my church members, and it was just the two of us. We got to the golf course. It was a busy Saturday, and because it was busy, we played the first few holes, but we had to wait after every hole. And finally, the two guys who were in front of us walked back to us and said, hey, look, since we're so backed up, do you want to just kind of join together and be a foursome, and maybe we'll get to play a little faster? So, of course, we took them up on this invitation. And as soon as they went back to their cart, I walked around to the back of our cart to get my driver, and I said to my friend, I'm not going to tell them what I do, so don't blow my cover. And sure enough, we get to the very first tee box that we play together, and you know this happens. The first thing to come, we introduce ourselves, and then they start talking about what they do for a living. So one guy was in the lighting business, and the other guy was in sales, and my friend was a pharmacist. And all the while this conversation's happening, I'm as quiet as a mouse. I go up to the tee box, I put my ball down and tee it up, and I hit it deep into the woods. And then I just sort of subtly work my way back to my cart, and I avoid all this talk about vocational things. Now, these are regular guys on the golf course, and regular guys, you know, they were just being guys. They consumed a lot of, I think you know where I'm going. They consumed a few cold beverages, and they were talking very freely. In fact, they were using some words that I'm not sure they would have used had their mama been out there, but we just played and sort of moseyed along best we could, and we paired up with them about hole number 5. And about hole number 15, we got up on the tee box, and I said, I don't think I ever told y'all what I do. I'm a United Methodist pastor. The color drained out of their faces. And immediately one of them said, I told my wife this morning I needed to stop cussing. It was really funny. Up until that point, I'd seen a lot of beverages. After that, I didn't see any as we played the rest. And they got considerably more quiet, and their golf game went to pot. I mean, they were playing all right before that, but after that, whew, it got kind of rough, and it was pretty funny. My pharmacist friend still loves to tell that story. Now it's 12 years later, and he still gets a lot of mileage out of that story. I wish that were the only time something like that had ever happened. But it isn't. In fact, it happens all the time. It's like when people find out I'm a pastor, they feel this desire to act differently. They feel this desire to pretend to be somebody they're not. And maybe it's not just in front of a pastor. Maybe it's just in general, we try to put our best foot forward. We try to paint ourselves in the best possible light. Maybe this is true. Maybe, especially in, I call Five Forks the bubble. We live in the bubble. And maybe here in the bubble, we like to keep our masks on. And we don't really like to let people know what's underneath the mask. And maybe we put pressure on ourselves to present a facade, to act like we've got everything, all of our stuff together, to act like our lives are just hunky-dory, to try to project in real life what everybody projects on Facebook, right? Because everybody puts their best face forward on Facebook as well. So we put on a mask, and we pretend that we're not broken. We put on a mask, and we pretend like everything's good, like we're not sinners, and the result is that we unnecessarily carry around this load of guilt. We feel guilty. We feel guilty for all kinds of things. We feel guilty for not doing the things we should have done. We feel guilty for doing the things we shouldn't have done. We feel guilty for hurting the people we love, for not spending enough time with our family. We feel guilty for all kinds of things. We put on this mask, and with our actions, we say, I've got it all together. My life is perfect. Sinner? You must be thinking about somebody else because I have all my ducks in a row. Well, in our scripture lesson this morning, John has some pretty harsh words for those who, in his words, claim they have no sin. I don't know if you picked up on that when we read through it, but he really lets us have it if we are among those people who claim we have no sin. In fact, verse 8 says this: if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Just for emphasis, you know, two verses later, this is what verse 10 says. John says the same thing, just in a slightly different way. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, Christ, a liar, and his word is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make Christ a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, we can act like we have everything together. We can act like we have the world by the tail, that our lives are perfect. We can try to cover up and hide our failures and shortcomings and sin. But we aren't fooling anybody. Well, we certainly aren't fooling God. We might fool a few people some of the time, but we certainly aren't fooling God. John says that really the only person we're fooling is ourselves. That's the way we deceive ourselves. And I think it's not just that we deceive ourselves. I think it's also that we deprive ourselves. We certainly do deceive ourselves when we say we have no sin, but I think we also deprive ourselves. And I say that we are depriving ourselves partially because maintaining that facade of perfection is exhausting, isn't it? Trying to maintain that facade, that mask of perfection, it's exhausting. The burden of perfection is too heavy for any one of us to carry. But the antidote to the deception of perfection is found in the verse in the middle. We read verse 8, we read verse 10. The one in the middle maybe has the antidote for the deception of perfection. Here's what verse 9 says. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this verse contains a wonderful promise for all of us. It's a verse of Scripture I memorized as a teenager. Of course, I memorized it in the King James Version, but the message is the same. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess our sins. Confessing our sins requires that we take off our mask. Confessing our sins requires that we humble ourselves before God. Confession allows us to lay down the heavy burden of perfection that we try to carry, this facade, and it allows us just to admit the truth about ourselves. We are broken. We are sinful. We fail. We often fall short. We sin because we are sinners. And when we're just honest about that, when we admit it, we don't have to keep up the exhausting facade any longer. We can't fool God anyway. So God has given us this tremendous gift called confession in order that we might be free. It's God's gift to us so that we can be set free if we confess our sins. That's what John says. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's an incredible promise. Being cleansed of all unrighteousness sounds pretty good, right? If we confess, then God will forgive. According to John, there is a connection between connection and forgiveness. I mean, those are linked together. But what exactly is that connection? How are they connected? I mean, is it true that God only forgives the sins that we list out, the sins that we confess? What if we don't remember all of our sins? What if we don't realize that we are sinning? What if I have such a long list, and I might, what if I have such a long list I forget one? Let's say my list of sins for this hour looks like this. So we got greed and lust and envy and bitterness and dishonesty and gluttony and hatred and rage and laziness. Well, what if I start confessing those sins to God? God, I've been lazy. I've had some rage, some hatred. God, I'm guilty of gluttony, dishonesty, bitterness, envy, and lust. What if I confess all of those, but I don't even realize that I've been greedy? I confessed all the other ones. Is it true that God wipes that slate clean of all those things, but because I didn't list out the greed, God, sorry, you didn't confess it, so I'm going to hang on to that one. Is that the way God works? If God operates that way, we're all in big trouble, right? But I think the key to understanding forgiveness is actually back in verse 7. Let's take a look at that again. This is what verse 7 says. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The sacrifice that Jesus makes on the cross makes possible our forgiveness. As the old hymn says, what can wash away my sin? Anybody remember it? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness is a gift offered to us by the self-sacrificial love of Jesus. And confession allows us to receive that gift. Confession allows us to receive that gift. Confession allows us to feel God's forgiveness. It takes that burden of guilt and that weight off of us. When we confess, it allows us to feel God's forgiveness that's made possible through the blood of Jesus, His Son. Being able to confess our sins to God gives us the chance to be honest to God. It provides us the opportunity to humble ourselves before God and cast the burden of guilt aside. It's best to confess. It's best to confess. And when we do, When we confess, the promise of this scripture is that the one who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Doesn't that sound good? Cleanse us of not just some unrighteousness, but cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We are no longer encumbered by guilt. We're no longer weighed down by the pressure of perfection. We confess our sins, and He who is faithful and just forgives us and cleanses us. It's best to confess. That's why this morning we're going to have a time of confession. I bet I'm not the only one who occasionally carries around the weight of guilt, of ways that you've fallen short, ways I've fallen short. And I think maybe if we take some time this morning just to sit still in the silence and to confess our sins to God, I think maybe it could become a gift to us. So we're going to do that. We're going to have some time to confess our sins before God. Let us pray together. Almighty God, it is only because we are convinced that You are faithful and just. It's only because we know that it is Your nature to extend grace and mercy. It's Your nature to forgive that we are bold to confess our sins to You. We pray that You will not only forgive us, but remove from us the weight of guilt. Save us from the pressure of perfection. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, set us free by the power of Your forgiveness. We pray this in the name of the one who shed His blood that we might be forgiven. Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen.
Let's stand again.